What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game, hour number two. Michelle Knazovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. Hey, join 102.5, the game, for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. You'll probably find me driving a golf cart around somewhere. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Very fun last year when we were out there. And we're asking our listeners today, call in, text in. We're asking the question. Our question of the day is, how interested are you in the NBA playoffs? Playing games begin tomorrow. How interested are you in watching the Memphis Grizzlies? The play-in game between the Lakers and the Timberwolves will decide who the Memphis Grizzlies will play in the first round. So we want to hear from you. How interested are you? And depending on that, we'll touch a little bit more on the Grizz as the NBA playoffs kick off this week. But at 9:30, Junie and I went through the rookie quarterback class and discussed what each rookie's floor, ceiling, and a fair comparison would be based off of somebody who is currently a quarterback in the NFL or played in the NFL. We went through all the guys. So we went through Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and Endon Hooker. Now we will go with, and I know he is your number one, but we will go with him at two right now, C.J. Stroud, Junie.
C.J. Stroud was interesting because I felt like he was one of the hardest to comp for.
Okay.
But I think I came up with some good ones. So my floor for C.J. Stroud is a guy that had a lot of upside in college, probably was a little bit more successful in college, but Jameis Winston.
Okay.
I see C.J. Stroud kind of like a Jameis Winston for a floor. You know, Jameis Winston obviously had a turnover problem. C.J. Stroud, and we didn't really see the turnover issue as much in college, so it was kind of shadowed. But he was a little bit mobile, not a lot. He had a big arm, and he had all the traits and a lot of things that were being said about Jameis Winston at the time when he was drafted in 2015 are being said about C.J. Stroud now. So Jameis Winston is the floor for C.J. Stroud. Now, the ceiling, that one was really hard for me to find. But when I sat and thought about it, I was like, honestly, it's Joe Burrow. Like, it literally is. The ceiling for C.J. Stroud is Joe Burrow, a guy that has the mobility, but it's not going to knock your socks off, has the leadership, has the toughness. I see his ceiling as Joe Burrow. Now, well, I think he'll ever get there. No, I honestly, truly don't. And that's why I had that as my ceiling.
His ceiling is here, but you're never getting there, dude.
This is because that's a really, really tall task to get to is Joe Burrow. But when you look at their traits and how they use their legs and their size and their arm talent, I see that as all kind of comparable. Now, my most likely, which I think is a really good comparison, is Donovan McNabb when he used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And not like a young Donovan McNabb, more of like when he was in the league for 3 or 4 years and he wasn't like as mobile and his tendencies were to drop back and pass and use his arm. That's the kind of quarterback because, you know, Donovan McNabb was a big guy in stature that would move around when he needed to. I kind of see C.J. Stroud as that. Donovan McNabb was one of those guys that kept you as a consistent winner in the NFL, but never could take the Eagles, you know, over the top. Made it to that one Super Bowl against Tom Brady in New England, lost by 3 points, was right there. But when Donovan McNabb led his team constantly, they went to 5 NFC championships while he was in Philadelphia. So they were a constant winner, but just could never win the big one. I could see C.J. Stroud kind of being like a guy like that. So my most likely Donovan McNabb ceiling would be Joe Burrow, and the floor is going to be a Jameis Winston.
Okay, shout out Syracuse. Donovan McNabb.
Shout out Syracuse. he played basketball at Syracuse too.
Yeah, I met him one time. He's a huge dude still.
Donovan McNabb. I loved watching Donovan.
I stood next to him on at the Carrier Dome, and I like looked up and I was like, he still looked like he could play out there. He was so big, like arms. You know when you look at Vrabel and you're like, wow, he could still get out there.
Yeah,
Donovan McNabb, he probably could still get out there. Big body people. Okay, and to the number one, maybe number one overall pick, but I think it's fair to assume actually, C.J. Stroud has been the favorite. It's all over the place, but it'll either be C.J. Stroud, I think, or Bryce Young as the number one overall pick, Junie. I know you personally like C.J. Stroud more because of size, I would say, is the main reason you like him more. But what would be your comps for Bryce Young?
So with all of these quarterbacks, I don't think that there is a wider margin for could he be a bust or could he be an all-pro than a Bryce Young. I mean, I could see it going either way, and you're going to see that in these comparisons because – you know, like an Anthony Richardson, I think he's like more likely to be a bust. You know, Hendon Hooker, I think is like more likely to be a backup. You know, Will Levis is going to be more like a serviceable starter. With Bryce Young, like I'm just not sure. And so my floor starting with him, and again, I had to go with like more undersized guys that mm-hmm. really rely on their mobility and playmaking. So my floor. Oh, my God, I'm going to get so much flack for this. But Johnny Manziel. I'm going with Johnny Manziel because Johnny Manziel played in the SEC, really elevated his team more than the talent. He did have Mike Evans, so I will give him that. He did have Mike Evans for a year. But I see Bryce Young as a very similar player, a guy that could – like, he just made defenders in the SEC look silly. So did Johnny Manziel. You know, both of them were Heisman winners. Both of them had a lot of playmaking ability in college. Both are undersized. And I think really Johnny Manziel, the difference between the two is personality, obviously.
Oh,
I see
yeah.
Bryce Young is not a big part here. I think he's got his head on straight. I'm just strictly talking about play in this and if it would translate. Johnny Manziel, unfortunately, got drafted to the Cleveland Browns in an era of Browns football that I think all of Cleveland wants to forget. But yeah, that would be the floor, which, you know, I think really he's going to be better than Johnny Manziel, but this is the worst case scenario. He gets drafted, say he gets drafted by Houston, and mm-hmm. Houston just doesn't build anything around him like they have been for the last couple years, and he just flames out just due to his circumstance. That's really where I'm kind of going with this. His ceiling, which has been a big comparison that a lot of people have used, is Drew Brees. You know, mm-hmm. Drew Brees is a guy, not necessarily for his playmaking, but being an undersized guy, a very accurate passer, which Bryce Young was a very, accurate passer in college. If he reaches his ceiling and is in the perfect spot, I could see him being like a Drew Brees. But when it came to the person that I could see him most being like on the field, strictly on the field, is a Russell Wilson. An undersized guy
okay.
who's mobile, that can use his legs, is an accurate passer, would probably benefit more with being around a team that has a good defense and a running game, which we saw Russell Wilson have the majority of his success when he was surrounded with a good cast and a good running game with, you know, Marshawn Lynch and then the Legion of Boom there on defense when they went on those Super Bowl runs. But without those guys, you know, Russell Wilson was in Seattle, of course. You know, obviously it's still a little early to see what he'll be in Denver. But mm-hmm. in Seattle, he was always a guy that would put up really good numbers. Oftentimes, he would be in the MVP conversation early on in the season and kind of tailor off. I just kind of see Bryce Young most likely being like a Russell Wilson. If everything's perfect for him and you can pull out those traits that you've seen in college, then he could be a really good quarterback that can kind of take you to a Super Bowl. But if it's not all there and all put together, he's a guy that, one, can put up really good stats. He's a very accurate passer. He is undersized, and that will limit him in some aspects because obviously his frame is a little bit smaller than a Russell Wilson, but the same still carries over. He's mobile in the pocket. He has really, really good awareness, can avoid rushers, which I think he will struggle with a little bit at the NFL level, especially if he doesn't have a good offensive line. So I say most likely Bryce Young will kind of be like a Russell Wilson.
The ceiling is the roof.
So we go through, you know, all of these quarterbacks, five of them in which we think will probably go in the first round. I think just from what we've seen from Hendon Hooker and the chatter surrounding him is that he will be a first round quarterback. And we talk about them all right now, and we can make the case for why they are the best quarterback in this draft. And that's what we've been seeing, right? We're in mock draft, the heat of the mock draft country right now, Junie. And actually, Jim Wyatt just put out something on the TennesseeTitans.com. He took a list of 30 NFL draft experts and 30 mock drafts from specific people all around and where they had the Tennessee Titans picking. How many of those drafts do you think they had the Tennessee Titans picking a quarterback out of 30?
I would say 8.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
Winner, winner, winner. 8 NFL draft analysts, experts, had the Tennessee Titans picking a quarterback. 8 out of 30. So you took a poll of 30 experts. So what is the likelihood of them actually drafting a quarterback? And with the signing of Jeffrey Simmons, how different does this offense and defense look like heading into next season? Judy and I will discuss all of that. We want your text. We want your call. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Chase and Michelle. 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night Smashville Live at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila. Pure and simple. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning discussing the Tennessee Titans, discussing the likelihood of them drafting a quarterback in the first round, whether that be at 11, where they currently are, or whether that be via a trade and trying to get that third overall pick that Arizona currently has. Monty Austenfort, their new general manager, has made it very clear that they're willing to hear any and all offers of who's willing to trade up to that third overall spot, especially considering the five quarterbacks we talk about in this draft and in some of them being very polarizing, like an Anthony Richardson, like a Will Levis. Some people view they're the best quarterback in this draft, and some people view that they're the worst quarterback in this draft. And I mentioned Jim Wyatt put something out on TennesseeTitans.com while we were discussing the quarterbacks last segment, Junie, and he put together a list of 30 draft experts, you know, the people who put together mock drafts every year. You got Mike Tannenbaum, Mel Kiper, right? A long list of all of these people who put together mock draft lists and they study them. And there are 8 people who put the Tennessee Titans drafting a quarterback, whether that be via a trade, moving up to 3 to get a quarterback, or whether that be staying at 11 and having a guy draft and having a guy drop. So the 3 quarterbacks, though, they only have 3 quarterbacks that they would be drafting: CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, or Will Levis. So those 8 people who believe that the Tennessee Titans will draft a quarterback is some combination of those 3.
I would like to know how in the world anybody has CJ Stroud mocked to the Titans. I mean, do they have them trading up in the scenario that they go trade with Arizona and then, you know, the Panthers elect to go with Anthony Richardson number 1 overall? Like, that's like the only scenario that I could see that happening. And I don't see it happening. So, I don't think there's any way the Carolina Panthers draft Anthony Richardson. I think that's purely smokescreen. So whoever has CJ Stroud going to the Titans, I mean, that would be excellent because I think he's the best quarterback in the draft, but I don't see that one likely at all.
So Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, comes on every week. You were with Joe hosting Robbie and Rexford last week when he came on, and he mentioned, do not be too sure that the Houston Texans will draft a quarterback. He specifically said that on the show. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports has the Tennessee Titans trading up to 2 to get a CJ Stroud. So Charles Robinson saying that has made me kind of scratch my head a little bit, because he's obviously saying, hey, don't be too sure that Houston is going to draft a quarterback, because he's not just going to throw it out there. Charles is a very respected guy in this industry, has a lot of information, has a lot of sources within all of the NFL organizations. And I think, could this be one of the wildest drafts, Junie? I mean, with these five guys, with already Chicago getting a huge haul from the Panthers to go up and get number one, with so many polarizing prospects in an Anthony Richardson, a Will Levis, even people view Hendon Hooker, right, in different lights. Some people view him as the third best quarterback. Some people view him as a second rounder. And you have Bryce Young. People will weigh in on his size. And the argument against C.J. Stroud as well, all his receivers were open at Ohio State, and he wasn't that good until the Georgia game. So I look at all of these guys, and there's no Joe Burrow or there's no Trevor Lawrence, right? There's no one guy who it's like, okay, he is definitely going number one overall. I would, you know, put everything on it.
This draft is definitely weird. With the quarterbacks, I mean, that's just one thing about this. I also look at the wide receivers in this draft. You know, there's not one that, like you had mentioned, there's not like a surefire guy. Like, where are the wide receivers going to go? It's a tight end heavy draft. Mm-hmm. Where are those tight ends going to go? Are people going to draft tight ends early in this year's draft? There's a lot of different options that teams can go with, because this is just not a normal year. And even the cornerback class this year, mm-hmm. this draft is deep with DBs, safeties as well. And could teams really start to bolster up their secondaries? This year in this draft will be one of the more entertaining ones. The one thing you did say, though, is that the Titans trading up with the Texans, there's no way Houston's going to allow, number one, a team in their division, but number two, the Titans, that used to be the Oilers in Houston, be able to trade up with them to go get their franchise quarterback. Who wrote that?
Hey, their management? I don't know.
I get it. Listen, I get it. If Houston doesn't want to draft a QB this year and they want to hold off till the quarterback class next year, I mean, I get it. But for them to trade with the Titans?
Hey, I'm here with you, Junie.
I think they would trade with anybody else than the Tennessee Titans.
I mean, that would 100% be the most wildest scenario if somehow that happened. Right? And there's so many different scenarios on here, but you know, one of the constants is that there's pretty much three positions. If you look at all 30 mock drafts, people where they have the Tennessee Titans, it's either they're drafting a quarterback, they're drafting a wide receiver, or they're drafting a tackle. And there's Mel Kiper has one outlier, an edge rusher in Tyree Wilson, and then another outlier, the running back Robinson. So I mean, it's all, we're in the season of what ifs and this, but you know, I look at this Tennessee Titans team right now. They just signed Jeffrey Simmons to his contract extension, $66 million in guarantees, $94 million contract. He's a young guy who they knew that they had to get locked in. Rand Carthon's first big move, I put as top of the list, most important move that he needed to make. So I look at this defense of this team. You've got Jeffrey Simmons up front. You got Danico Autry up front. You got Tyer Tarr up front. Probably going to need to add a little bit of depth for that edge rusher position. But, you know, I look at the defense too. You got Kevin Byard, right? We're moving to the secondary. Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden. Hopefully those guys will be healthier. You got Roger McCreary another year under his belt. Christian Fulton. So I look at the defense, and it's just, they're in two completely different situations. So I look at the option of, okay, you can go draft a rookie quarterback if you believe he's going to be your guy, because I think, you know, being a head coach, being a general manager, it's your job to evaluate quarterbacks. And if you believe your guy is there in the draft, you do everything to go and get him. But I look at this team and I scratch my head, because it's two completely different positions. I mean, the wide receiver room is Treylon Burks. The tight end room is Chigakonkwo, right? I mean, those are the guys that you can feel confident in, yet they didn't even have full seasons last year.
I'll put it to you this way. The question being posed here is, what is the likelihood that the Titans go out and draft a quarterback? And I think that it would be negligent for them to be able to trade up and risk future assets when there's so many holes on the offense that need to. You would just be putting that quarterback into an awful situation. And on top of that, you're likely going to get the third guy, which is going to need to be a developmental piece anyway. So with all that being said, I think that they're hoping that somebody would fall through the cracks that they like a Will Levis, or if they believe in Anthony Richardson.
Or a Hendon Hooker.
Drafting Hendon Hooker at 11 would be stupid. Trade back or try to get him in the second round. I think, honestly, I see Hendon Hooker being one of those late first round, go up and get somebody, trades out of the second round to move up into the one of the final picks in the first round to go get him, just to get that fifth year option and test the waters with him. But the Titans are going to, I think, will stick at 11, more likely than not. And I think unless Will Levis were to drop and they really, really like him, that'd be the only quarterback that I could really see them realistically taking in the first round at that slot. But, you know, like you said, it's going to be interesting. And I think that if I'm the Titans, I'm drafting the best offensive player available to try and bolster this team, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's offensive line, or if the quarterback that you really like slides to you, then you go and get it. You don't want to make any stupid moves with the amount of holes that you have. And so you take the most surefire thing and then worry about getting your quarterback either next year or some other way, so that way that you don't set up a guy to fail if you were to go up and trade up and get them. That's how I feel about it.
Tom Pelissero reported this morning that Will Levis will be headed to Nashville on Tuesday, tomorrow, for a visit with the Tennessee Titans. And also, Hendon Hooker will be visiting with the Detroit Lions this week. A lot going on specifically here around the entire NFL. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike will join us next on Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe for the next couple of days. We got Nick Kieser with us as well. And Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike will join us shortly. Taking a look around the NFL as a whole, a couple other moves made. Last night, the Ravens are signing Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year deal, per Tom Pelissero. $13.8 million in signing bonus, $1.1 million in base salary, and $3 million in reachable incentives. OBJ will make at least $15 million and as much as $18 million on the deal. Now, that was a move that happened last night that I was not ready for. And I look at that, too, and I think, okay, well, Ravens are doing whatever it takes to have Lamar maybe loosen up on what he exactly wants in that contract, Junie.
Well, I mean, he's been begging for them to go out and get a surefire wide receiver for a while. So I think this kind of makes it to where Lamar Jackson's excuses run out. You wanted to go get a guy like that? Well, now you do. So go ahead and play on the franchise tag. You know, you wanted to go and try and compete with offers. It seems like nobody's going to go out there and try to actually negotiate for the Ravens in this whole non-exclusive franchise tag dilemma. I don't see him being dealt anywhere. So play on the tag, play for a new contract going next year. You got Odell, you got Bateman at the number two, you got Mark Andrews, who's a top five tight end, J.K. Dobbins, ever since he came back in the middle of the year, I mean, he looked like a really, really good running back. So, I mean, the Ravens offense could be set up to be pretty solid this year. And this would kind of, you know, take away all the excuses. The Greg Roman's a run-first, heavy offense, and wide receivers don't want to play here, and Lamar Jackson doesn't have enough talent, and the Ravens won't go get him. Well, they went out and got him. They gave you the option to go seek a trade. Nobody wanted to go and negotiate with you. So I think this is going to set up to where Lamar plays on the franchise tag and says, you know what? Well, this is the year I got to show it, and this is the year I got to prove it, and this is the last opportunity. And I think that he'll end up playing for the Ravens this year.
So, also, quick fantasy football note, it's never too early. Mark Andrews is a threat in fantasy, especially because he was Lamar Jackson's one and only weapon last year. But, you know, I look at this, too, and I look at the contract that Odell got. And I remember a couple of weeks ago he came out and he was like, I'm not asking for $20 million a year. But, I mean, in this deal, he has the opportunity to make up upwards of 18 is the max he can earn if he gets all his money and incentives and everything. But I look at a guy and I look at that contract, Junie. Second ACL, what he did in L.A., you still saw that he could still be OBJ in L.A., but they had so many other threats. They had such a stacked roster when they won the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. But I think he proved, okay, coming off the injury, he showed us what he was at one point, how he can be an electric, game-changing wide receiver. But I question now. He hasn't played in over a year now. He's coming off his second ACL injury. He's going to be wide receiver one with Lamar Jackson, who's also coming off some injuries. And you gave him a pretty big contract.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. I mean, he was playing alongside Cooper Kupp, who had one of the greatest seasons for a wide receiver ever. Won the Triple Crown. I mean, Kupp was absolutely amazing in that season for the Rams. And when I look at Odell and he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl in February, it was going to be hard for him to come back and play last season. And now you're talking about a guy that's in his 30s, hasn't played in a full calendar year, missed all of last season, and he gets that much money. I mean, that's a lot. And it just kind of goes to show you that the Ravens are really desperate right now. And the fact that they were kind of silencing their reporters from asking questions about Lamar Jackson. And
that's all they want to know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how are you going to tell your reporting staff, that, you know, the guys that are going out there trying to do their job, that they can't talk about the biggest story that's going on with your team? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I think the writing's on the wall. I think they're desperate for Lamar to come back to avoid the bad PR of letting him, you know, basically kind of showing that they don't care and they don't want to resign him and they're going to allow other teams to negotiate with him. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. Their fans aren't happy with it. The rest of the NFL is really curious as to why they're doing that. But with that being said, I just see a move like this being a desperate call to say, hey, Lamar, we don't want you to go. We want to give you what you want. You know, come back here, play on the franchise tag, show everybody what you're worth, and then we can talk about those big dollars next year, because now you have absolutely zero excuse coming into the season with a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. You wanted a guy like that, they go out and spend the money and get a guy like that. If you want to get paid, show that you can win with good players around you. And with Bateman being your two, Mark Andrews being a top five tight end, their offensive lineup there is really good. You always are going to have a good running game with Lamar Jackson and company. There's no excuses. This Ravens offense should be really, really good this year if Lamar plays on this franchise tag.
I mean, I had the Ravens last year. If their team stayed healthy, I had them making a deep run when we made our preseason predictions. And, you know, they were actually, you look at you smirking over there, Mr. Steeler, Mr. Pitt, Mr. Steel City over there. But they were a team that, I mean, other than that incredible 99-yard touchdown in their playoff game in Cincinnati, they should have won that game. Right. I mean, if Mark Andrews actually got called for whoever pushed him in the back. Right. I mean, you look at that game and you look at the roster that they have and a lot of it being dependent on Lamar Jackson and what was going to happen this offseason. But I look at this move by the Ravens and this is the biggest. Hey, Lamar, we want you here. We're showing that you want you here. No, we don't want to give you a fully guaranteed contract, but hey, we're going to go get you the best free agent wide receiver right now, you know, a guy who'll probably be in the Hall of Fame someday. Yeah, he suffered some injuries, but rehab for over a year, just won a Super Bowl not too long ago in L.A. and was a significant part of that. We're going to go get you him, a very well respected wide receiver in this league. So I think that's their biggest case that they've made to Lamar saying, hey, we want you to be our quarterback, which I'm sure they've told him. But, you know, when Lamar's in these conversations without an agent, with, you know, owners and GMs and your coach, and they're basically telling you, you're not worth this contract, so we're not giving you and doing what the Browns did with the fully guaranteed for Deshaun Watson. It's not happening. We're not giving you that because we're a smart organization. Because Ravens are a smart organization. They're not going to just hand out a deal like the Cardinals did with Kyler Murray and like Cleveland did with the Browns. But this is the biggest move I see in saying, hey, Lamar, work with us here. We're doing things to help you. But not having an agent, I just feel like this is just going to be something that's going to linger over Lamar's head, the Ravens' head, for a whole nother year. He'll probably play on the tag. But then what happens next year?
I think he has to. And I think that the results based on this year are going to dictate what Lamar Jackson gets for his second contract. And honestly, whether or not he's going to be a Baltimore Raven in the future. I mean, flat out that Lamar Jackson has been a lot more underwhelming than what people thought he were after his MVP seasons. His stats have gone down every single year, Michelle. I mean, he's 1-3 in the playoffs. He's never scored more than 20 points in the playoffs, which is super underwhelming with some of the teams that they've had. They were the number one seed, lost to Derrick Henry in the 9-7 Titans that came into Baltimore and just absolutely mollywopped him. Lamar Jackson had excellent stats, but he also had a bunch of turnovers and a bunch of fourth down failed conversions in that game. Lamar Jackson has been banged up the last 2 years and has really cost his team at an opportunity at the playoffs. So it's ridiculous for me to sit here and see a guy without an agent trying to get one of the best deals in all of NFL history when every single year his stats have gone down. In the last 2 years, he hasn't been able to even finish the season. So Lamar needs to get a sense of reality, in my opinion, and he needs to understand that he hasn't proven anything. And all these people coming out and saying that he's had zero help, he's had a great offensive line every single year he's been in Baltimore. They've been one of the top rushing teams every single year. They put a good defense out every single year. And on top of that, they drafted 2 first-round wide receivers in that time frame. So it's not like the Ravens aren't doing every single thing that they possibly can to maximize what this guy can do. And for the lack of results that he has given this team while he's been on a rookie deal, while they've been trying to build a team around him, goes to show you, what do you expect the Ravens to be when they pay all this money to you and that takes away options that they can build the roster around you when you couldn't even do it on your rookie deal? So with that being said, I'm just really kind of starting to get tired of this Lamar Jackson stuff. They signed Odell Beckham Jr. This is a move that you wanted. Go out there, play on the tag. You're going to be making $30-plus million a year. I know it's probably you're being underpaid, you know, compared to other quarterbacks that have gotten paid, but go out there and prove it. And if you prove it, you're going to get that deal that you want. So it really all comes down to, is Lamar Jackson going to suck it up and play on the franchise tag and try to have the best year he possibly can to get those negotiations up and get closer to that dollar amount that he wants next offseason? Because it's not happening this one.
You want to know something kind of wild? I was listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, and they were talking about the Ravens specifically as a franchise. They were talking about, you know, their luck with wide receivers and what wide receivers that they've gotten. Actually, they gave a little shout-out to our very own Derek Mason, which you'll hear from him at 11 a.m. But talking about, you know, some of the wide receivers that have played for that organization over the last couple of years. And I just checked it just to make sure, just to double-check, fact-check. So CBS Sports, the Baltimore Ravens don't have a deep history of wide receivers. In fact, they have never drafted a Pro Bowl wide receiver in the 27 years of the franchise.
No, I mean, they typically don't get, you know, big-time wide receivers in the draft.
But, I mean, you look at the Pro Bowl now, it's like, okay, well, is like that's not even that big of an accolade in the NFL now.
No, because Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl and he had, know, like, 2 passing touchdowns. Like, it's absurd. Pro Bowls don't matter. The point of the matter is that the Baltimore Ravens are a defensive, run-first-minded team. They play in the AFC North. That's bully, tough football up there playing in those kind of conditions. I just, listen, it's not their style, and they finally have a quarterback that has a lot of upside. You know, when Joe Flacco was here, they went out and got guys like Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith, and those guys were serviceable for those teams because they had Ed Reed, mm-hmm, and Ray Lewis. But this defense is still a pretty solid defense in Baltimore. And when you have a guy that has the upside that Lamar Jackson has, and he's played at an MVP level before, you know, you've got to get guys around him that can play better. And for me personally, they've had a good running game. They have a top 5 tight end. And I think some of the reason that some of these wide receivers, like a Hollywood Brown, you know, there's a lot of tape of him being open, Lamar missing him. And not getting him as involved as he possibly could. And I just see the part the part of it, the lack of results for the Ravens receivers has been due part of being, you know, Lamar Jackson being the quarterback. He's not the most accurate down the field. And we got to sit here and call it for what it is. He's ultra talented. And with this Odell acquisition, this takes away all excuses. Play on the tag. Let's see what you got. And if it's the same stuff, then, dude, you can't sit here and ask for that big deal because you're flat out not worth it.
Junie and I are going to put a bow on things coming up next. Going to take a look at all of the other headlines, all of the other things that we haven't touched on today. We're going to talk a little Masters, transfer portal, and college sports. Hit on the best of the sports from the weekend. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Keezer. Final segment of the day. Going to put a bow on things here. Then Caroline Willie and D-Maze will be coming up for you at 11 a.m. discussing a lot of things surrounding the NFL, Jeffrey Simmons, big new contract, Odell Beckham Jr., all things in the NFL. But, Junie, we're going to hit on some headlines, some of the things we haven't touched on in the show today. We talked a lot of NFL. We talked a lot about the quarterback position. John Rahm wins the Masters yesterday. Got his green coat. Brooks Koepka was pretty much in control the entire time. And then Rahm was coming up back towards him, and he ended up getting the win. There also was a amateur, Sam Bennett. He was second, I think, after Saturday, and ended up dropping a bit, but ended up tying for 16th. So pretty incredible performance by him. It was nice to, you know, watch the Masters. And also, I don't know if you saw those trees fall. Thank God nobody got injured. But that was pretty insane. I saw some videos on Twitter of that all happening.
One person, like, was in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
In between, like, the two trees. Was it two trees that fell or something? Yeah. Like, they were, like, right next to each other. And somebody was in between the two trees and did not get hit. So that person has a lot to be thankful for this Easter. that was insane. Was it like part of the winds and the storm that did that? That was coming through last week?
I mean, it must have been. But that always, the Masters is always, I've never really watched it this intently. But we put it on yesterday. I watched it. Pretty cool. I really enjoyed it, having it there. You know, Easter brunch and everything like that. So congratulations to everybody who was in it. And also Gordon Sargent, who was a 19-year-old. He's on the Vanderbilt golf team. Didn't make the cut after the first day, but just to get an invitation there that hasn't been done in over 20 years is pretty incredible. So congratulations to him. Adam Schefter actually just put out 10 minutes ago that at least six teams have inquired with the Arizona Cardinals about trading up for the third overall pick. So per the league sources, Cardinals are still deciding whether to make the pick or to move on from the pick. You know, I kind of look at that, Junie, and I look at if you're a general manager and you think that one of these quarterbacks could be your guy and you haven't maybe invited him to come work out with you yet, of course you're gonna call and you're gonna inquire and you're gonna say, okay, what would it take? What would it take for me to move up to that position? I think a lot of times when we hear reports like that, it's really just getting information from other general managers around the league. I mean, if I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, I want Rand Carthon to call Monty Austin Fort and say, hey, what would it take? We're at 11th. What are maybe some of the offers looking like? What would it cost us if that is something that we'd want to do?
I know the Panthers made their move with the Bears, and that's been like a big headline and stuff like that. I just see this whole number three pick. I see that as a draft night kind of move. I don't think that's going to get done before draft night. I think everybody's going to have their meetings, look at their prospect, kind of make their big boards and finalize that. And then if somebody, you know, wants to pull the trigger, I just think that that's going to happen like in the spur of the moment, that the night of.
Yeah, so that'll be another blockbuster one. But who knows? If a team really likes a guy, they want him at third, they will move up to get him. And also we talk about the other teams in division with the Tennessee Titans. You've got the Colts at four, and you've got the Houston Texans at two. Kind of looking around the sports world as a whole right now, obviously the NBA playoffs, we've touched on it throughout the entire show, asking fans to text in on whether they care about the NBA playoffs. Do you care about the Grizz? What are your thoughts on it? Some people are really high on the Grizz, looking forward to see who they play on Sunday. It'll either be the Timberwolves or the Lakers. Other people say they don't care too much about the NBA, but something interesting happening. Luka Doncic only played 13 minutes in the Mavs game against the Bulls, and that game actually ended up resulting in the Mavs not making the playoffs. So they go and they get Kyrie Irving, a huge blockbuster trade in the middle of the year, and then Luka only plays 13 minutes, basically just a quarter of this game, and now the NBA is looking into it even more. Pretty bizarre situation that I.
It's super bizarre because the reason they put these play-in games was so that more teams would keep playing their starters and make it more competitive going down the stretch, so that, you know, there were more options and more teams that would be in it. And the fact that the Mavs just rolled over and just let the Bulls get the win and knock themselves out after giving up so many assets for Kyrie Irving. You say you're going to go out and re-sign Kyrie. I think that's just utterly ridiculous, and I think that
that's not... they lost by three.
And you don't think that Luka would have went in and made the difference? I mean, the Mavs would have been a really entertaining team to watch in these play-in games, and they just really robbed your average basketball fan or average NBA fan that wanted to see, you know, some superstars be in the mix with that. And so, I don't know, I think it's a bad move, and I think they should rightfully be investigated for that, because these new rules set it up to where... you shouldn't do that, and they did anyway. So I'm really down on the Mavs right now after sitting out their best player when playoffs are on the line. That's just ridiculous for professional sports.
Listen, I mean, Luka Doncic could be one of the guys who could potentially be on the move this offseason. I know there's been some chatter about it, especially since they signed Kyrie Irving, and I personally hate that move. I mean, there are two guys who want to have the ball in their hand 95% of the time on the court. This is Luka's team. But there's a guy who is probably frustrated with how that last game went. They're not in the playoffs. And like I mentioned before, the Memphis Grizzlies will play Sunday. They will either play the Lakers or the Timberwolves. And Junie wanted to make a comment on the XFL quick.
I do. Really quickly, if you are a football fan and you have not checked out the XFL, I cannot recommend it enough. I mean, for a spring football league, the secondary league to the NFL, I mean, it's a really good product. I mean, St. Louis is having 30,000 plus fans, nearly 40,000 fans a game. They're rowdy. Some of these cities have really taken it on. In some of these games, like the DC Defenders and Seattle Sea Dragons last night, back and forth. Seattle came rushing back after being down two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. 1-point game. They went for two to try and take the lead by one, and they just came up short. But these games are really entertaining, and some of the product that they're putting out is really good. And on top of that, when you have fans that are showing up and supporting for some of these franchises and stuff that don't have an NFL team, makes it all that more special. So shout out to the XFL. Really good watch, really good product. Highly recommend as hockey and some of these other sports are wrapping up.
Junie's a big football guy, if you can't tell. Junie Riddle will be in for Chase McCabe up until Wednesday this week. Have a good day, Nashville. Coming up next, Caroline Willie in D-Mace. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.